Chapter 82. Darrow. Civil Discourse. Diomedes has betrayed me. Seeing him enter the shrine with Lysander instead of his grandmother, I bolt to my feet and draw my haster. Lysander's razor is already in his hand. At first I did not recognize the young man. War has that effect on the face and eyes. It's reassuring that it touches even the shiniest boy on the Palatine. His face has been thinned out by anxiety, his eyes made brittle by concession and sacrifice. I glance through the columns out into the garden for signs of Praetorians or Gorgons. The only thing that moves are the weird lizards eating thorns from the rose trees. That doesn't mean Atlas isn't out there. Shit. I level Pyrophoros at Lysander. He's taken a fighter's stance and searches the recesses of the shrine, just as I search the trees outside it for enemies. He didn't know I'd be here either. What game is Diomedes playing? Diomedes, if that's Gaia, compliments to your carvers, I say. Diomedes, what is this? Lysander asks.
Civility.
Diomedes walks over to one of the benches and takes a seat. My fear dissipates a little, but the confusion remains.
Goodman, enough. I'll not have my guests shed each other's blood.
Guests? Lysander asks.
This is my moon. You are my guests, Diomedes replies. Please, rest your blades. They've had their say. Now I'll have mine.
We are alone here. I've made sure of it. His gesture to the benches is gentle, but his voice is not.
Sit. So much for never lying, I say. Atlas could be just outside. Lysander, Diomedes says, let us not play games. Where is Atlas?
I don't know, he replies.
His eyes dart toward the box.
Wouldn't be his first lie either, I say, still watching the garden beyond the columns.
Darrow, stop, Diomedes says.
Lysander looks embarrassed.
Diomedes?
No, it is not your time to speak. It is mine.
The authority in Diomedes' voice goes unchallenged by Lysander.
Darrow, you've implored me to trust you, and in return you have trusted me this far.
Recalling my blade, I take a seat. Wary, Lysander stays on guard, his blade pointed at me until he reaches the bench opposite me on the other side of the pool. He sits, but keeps his blade in his lap. I yearn to take it from him and shove it down his throat. My eyes drift to his sidearm, my thoughts to Alexander. Diomedes must see the machinations taking place in my mind.
Our fight is not with him, Diomedes says.
Lysander's eyebrows float up.
Our?
Diomedes walks to the box atop the shield of Akari and pulls out Far's head. Lysander blanches.
You chose the twisted path we find ourselves upon, loon.
Diomedes stuffs the head back in the box.
Darrow straightened part of it. I did not know what Atlas had planned. Not until it was too late. That is why you are still alive, Diomedes says. And I am still alive, thanks to the both of you. That is why we are here today.
Lysander and I stare at each other across the pool. He keeps glancing at the box, and I keep searching for Atlas in the garden. Diomedes rubs his hands together in thought.
After today, I will likely be appointed hegemon. A post that has not existed since Akari retired it. Ilium may be on its knees, but the rim is not bereft of strength, though most of it is not here yet. When I hold the spear of Akari, I will be in total command of the Shadow Armada and the local garrisons of Uranus, Neptune, and Saturn. Unfortunately, even then, I will be the weakest party in this shrine. Yet even with the strength we three represent, there is one who eclipses our combined strength. Not Atlas. Atalantia Augrimus. Many of the evils that have befallen us have been on her orders via her schemes and her agents. She has used Atlas to outplay us. I imagine, Lysander, that Atlas has given you her role in this little play. Lysander nods. To spare further loss of life? 3 years, yes, we know. He nods to Farr's box. While we have torn each other apart, she has only grown stronger. As I see it, we have two choices before us. Either we can continue as we have, and you two can pound each other apart over Io or Europa. Happy to, I say. The last time we met, I was on my knees due to the efforts of your betters, boy. This time you'll have my full attention. Agreed. I welcome the contest, Lysander says. He is not afraid, and that makes me happy. It's less fun killing people who are afraid. But I have the advantage in mass and firepower, Darrow, and I have the Lightbringer. You will lose. It's a taunt. He believes it, a fact. Maybe, but either way, I'll still kill you, I say. No matter who wins, you both lose, Diomedes says. The victor will limp home, and Atalantia will open her jaws and chew the remains. Both of you pride yourselves on your logic and cold reason. Tell me I am wrong in my assessment. Neither Lysander nor I say anything. Common ground, Diomedes says with a sigh. Good. There it is. We are outplayed. Unless we form an arrangement. Lysander and I both scoff, then glare at one another. Diomedes says nothing. What sort of arrangement? I ask eventually. A military alliance with me, Diomedes says. A triumvirate against Atalantia. Silence reigns until I break it with laughter. Why not? Diomedes asks. You both want it from me and don't want the other to have it. I won't give it up, unless it's to both of you. Diomedes, this man is Atlas's puppet, I say. Lysander has his own charges to levy. Have you forgotten the dockyards of Ganymede? Darrow's litany of transgressions? Diomedes is a hard man to discourage. He smiles, patient. Lysander. He motions to the box. Darrow, your new blood-soaked queen? I grunt. I think we can all agree that today I am the most aggrieved party. I have lost my mother, my father, my sisters, my brother, my mentor, and my home. This war has cost me all that I love, except two people. There is a voice inside that demands revenge. It tells me revenge will fill the holes torn in my heart. He goes quiet and stares at the pool, and I wonder if he sees their faces in the water. He goes on. But I know that is a lie. Arcos, a man known to all of us, said it best. Death begets death begets death. I hang my head back in frustration. When did he get so chatty? If we demand restitution for all the evils that have been done to us, there will be no end to this war. It will consume us and the people we claim to lead. The future is more important than our wounds. He looks straight at me. The purpose of war must not be vengeance. It cannot be to kill your enemies until none are left. That is barbarism. That's how Earth and its multitude of nations strangled itself. He looks at Lysander. The purpose of war must be to find the road back to peace. I am not a politician, nor a philosopher. I do not know the peace we three might find when the dust settles, but I know this. All Atalantia and Atlas, and those like them, will accept is either subjugation or annihilation.
He leans back.
I do not see a tyrant in either of you. I see two humans who want to leave the worlds a better place than they found them. Let us start here. Now.
From each of you, I request an act of humility and service. Darrow, you will present the head of Volsung Fa to the Moon Lords and ask for their mercy as your boon for the service you have rendered. Lysander, you will bring the head of Atlas to the Moon Lords and ask for their mercy as your boon. If you do not, then slag off.
And like that, Diomedes returns to his usual stony silence to wait for us to speak. Neither of us do. The passions within me war. I want this fight with Lysander. I want it more than I wanted Nero's death, but I remember all too well the hollowness I felt when he lay dead before me, slain by his own son. Nero's death did not fill the holes torn in my life. It was his daughter who did that. From the day Virginia stayed my hand at Octavia's gala and stopped me from killing Cassius, she kept me from falling into the shadow within myself. Today, I think of what she would say to this. I study Lysander. Behind his petulance and the scars of war, behind even his awesome entitlement, I see the same conflict that rages in me. It is hard to put down the blade when you are afraid.
Virginia treated with you at Phobos, I say, halting. He looks over at me. You let her withdraw to Mars, when you did not have to. Why?
I wanted her to know that there were options other than fighting to the death.
Why?
Mercury, he says. Your army. What Atalantia and Atlas did to them. The impalements. The massacres. How could Virginia ever surrender Mars if she thought that was all that awaited your people? How could they do anything but fight to the last?
He frowns.
I wanted her to know that I was not Atalantia or Octavia, that I was not Atlas.
I can understand that, but I don't know if I believe it.
Then what are you? I ask.
A shepherd, he replies.
That is all I want to be, to use the gifts given to me to make lasting peace. But this is a fantasy, Diomedes. Even if I agree, even if we did turn together on Atalantia, Darrow will never put down the sword until our people are dust. There would be no peace, only a delayed end to what we can finish here.
Diomedes turns to examine me.
We do not see the same man, Lysander. You have forgotten that Darrow let you live when you were a boy. That his son is half gold. That his wife is gold, born of the family who killed his first wife.
Lysander is right. There would be no peace, I admit. Not if there was no change. Not if the hierarchy remained. Not if my people continued on in slavery. Not if a loon sat upon the morning chair.
But if there was a middle path, if there was a way forward without tyranny, for that I could put down my sword. I could find compromise.
I can't believe the words coming out of my own mouth.
Spheres of influence, then? Lysander shakes his head, adamant. This won't work. He has you around his finger, Diomedes. The last time he made peace with your father, he stabbed him in the back.
If a man cannot learn from his mistakes, then what hope is there but to kill us all at first sin? He replies.
More Stoneside.
Diomedes, for a decade he has given mankind nothing but war.
Diomedes nods. And if you were born a red on Mars, what would you have done?
Lysander flinches at the question in revulsion, unable to imagine such a thing.
When I was a boy, my father asked me that question. I said, rise up. and he smiled. Darrow is not to blame for this war. Gold is. The hierarchy gave humanity the stars, but the decadence and cruelty of our rulers gave us this rebellion. You told me once that we have forgotten who we are, Lysander. You are right. We are not kings. We never were meant to be. We are shepherds. Shepherds do not rule. They guide. They nurture. They protect. Because they know it is not the shepherd who produces. It is the flock. Without the flock, we are just beggars with sticks and esoteric rites. It is our time to find humility, to show we are more than autocrats. I need you to be the man you claim to be, Lysander.
Diomedes' words seemed to find Lysander's heart.
I hear you, Diomedes. I do. But I have compromised once at the point of a sword. If I say no, there is no sword to your throat. You may leave and consider our proposal aboard your ships, if you wish. Diomedes replies, I am not my uncle any more than you are. I stand up. Diomedes, you cannot just let him leave. A man's word may no longer matter in the core, but it is all that matters in the rim. Lysander came to help my people because I asked him to. He saved my life aboard the Dustmaker. He came to this garden without his guards as my guest. As my guest, he may come and go as he pleases. Seek to harm him. You are at war with me.
He means that.
Not to mention, I'm your only hope of catching your uncle, Lysander says. He's run circles around Darrow for years.
Diomedes smiles.
That, too.
I admire Diomedes's consistency, but at any other time in my life I'd leap across the pool and hack Lysander's head off. That would cost me Diomedes today. Forever.
There's a friendship between these two men.
Lysander stands to leave. He pauses, conflicted.
Darrow, would you really consider this, even though I killed Alexander?
I tame the anger. Instead, I look down into the reflecting pool. We were on a hill, overlooking Tyche as the waves came in, when Alexander asked to go down to save the people who called him enemy. I know what he'd want if he were here today.
Diomedes says, Your fleets will remain where they are, Io and Europa. At Nival night, the Moon Lords will meet in the House of Bounty. Acta non verba, Goodman. I will have your answer there.
I need the shield as an alibi for this meeting, Lysander says.
The shield is for a true friend of the Rim.
It will be waiting for you, I hope, Diomedes replies.
Lysander nods and departs.
When he's gone, I grimace at Diomedes. You may regret that.
Come, you should wait on your ship. You have your own decision to make.
With Diomedes as escort, I follow the tunnel from the shrine back to the grain warehouse where I left Cassius behind with the Archimedes. He does not wait outside where I left him. And when I call into the ship, he does not answer. My stomach sinks when I find a holodrop waiting for me on his captain's chair. I don't need to listen to it to know where he's gone. I rush out of the Archimedes. Diomedes turns with a frown and follows me to the open doors of the warehouse. I peer up to where the Lightbringer forms a dagger in the sky. I frisk myself. Diomedes finds it for me. A listening device as small as a ladybug.
Bloody damn Bologna, I mutter. Darrow,
Diomedes squeezes my arm. Do not draw your weapon. Something whispers behind us. I step back from the doors to see a dozen shadows falling from the ceiling of the warehouse. They land quieter than cats. One already has a blade at my throat. More appear outside the warehouse. Dust walkers. Diomedes' eyes narrow.
Grandmother?
A woman clucks her tongue from the shadows.
My little storm, what in the worlds have you been up to?